So you spoke about unified worldview as one of your goals. I actually thought the way that you presented it, Doug, was you receive the idea that these can be separate. You know, you have one identity when you're in the lab and one when you're not. Then you say, well, no, I want to have a unified worldview that I'm the same me wherever I am. Do you still feel that that's the Holy Grail, a unified view, or do you think that that was a naive view that you could be able to do that?
No, I think, you know, that's where I strive to get to, is that, you know, I live my life in a way that whether I'm doing science, I'm thinking about science, I'm writing about science, or I'm doing something completely different, is a unified worldview. You know, I approach my scientific endeavor that way. I try to approach my life as best I can that way. Keeping in mind that when you do that or you attempt to do that, you often fail. You probably fail more often than you don't. That raises whole new tensions that exist. You know, if I'm a person of faith, if I'm an individual whose faith agrees with the notion that there's an active being that we can call God that at times intervenes in the world, and that's what I believe, then that at some level makes science a little bit unpredictable, because there's that notion of, in science, the way we teach the scientific method is that, you know, we want to try and control and hold the same as many things as we can. And when I do my science, I keep that methodology firmly in mind, but, you know, I believe what I'm doing is I'm exploring a world that God's created, and sometimes there's aspects of that that are really challenging or difficult to recreate inside of the scientific framework. You know, so it does, it's not that it alleviates tensions, it raises different kinds of tensions, but what I try to do is acknowledge that those tensions exist and what they mean, and not just act like they're not present, I suppose.